editor in chief, got her ripping.
You got a fresh cut?
I don't know what it is.
Fresh cut, bud, number one.
Put some Carnauba on that bad boy.
You know who gave me my first number one haircut? Adam Sands, when he fucked up. He turned my neck and he just cut the whole goddamn. So I felt the first shake. Roommates do, right?
Oh my God. I think on that note, welcome back to episode 20 of the Left is Right podcast, where we're talking about haircuts.
Haircuts today. Yeah, so you all haven't seen the bald guy on the internet. That's me. And
Flame Hills. Matt with a shiny dome piece.
I got applause on there. You know?
Yeah, you do.
Much anymore, though.
So there very well could be some new people listening to this. So if you are unfamiliar, my name's Adam Sands. In the left corner there, standing at about 7 foot 385 pounds with the chrome dome, we've got...
Hello, team. Matt Messina, reporting for duty.
And in the right corner, we got...
In the right
Brandon
corner!
Davis, at about 5'7" and in thick soled boots. On a good day.
I am 100% exaggerating on Mr. Messina there. He is not 7 foot three. I'm not even, just doing my thing there. So,
yeah, it's all good.
He's pretty tall for most of us.
I do fit a 93 Civic though, or 94 Civic still.
Hot topic, bud.
Yeah, we got some things happening, boys.
That thing has the brown cloth interior, right?
Brent, of course it's got the brown cloth.
So what is it? So you bought, you made a purchase, you made a vehicle purchase. What'd you buy?
So I bought, as Adam so eloquently said, not many people get a chance to start over, right? And what he's talking about, I bought my my first car ever. This one's a 94 Honda Civic, four-door, automatic, top to bottom. Right. And I had this car in high school and a little bit in college.
Yeah.
And it was the four door, man. Everybody's like, why are you going around a four door? I'm like, listen, bud, it's fine. We had her dumped on Springs. She was like, it should have off the ground.
I remember that.
I remember this car vividly. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me that it's come full circle. And now that you own the same car when you have a steady income stream, it'll be interesting to see where it ends up at the end of the day.
We hit it pretty hard today on that front. We hit it pretty hard.
Okay.
So the plan is I wanted to do the swap I've always wanted to do, right? Back in those days, no one had any cash, couldn't do anything like that, right? And so it's getting a manual transmission first off. So I got to find some pedals. That's the easy part, but it's getting a K20 A2 out of a 2002 RSX Type S, so it's gonna be a ripper. As Brent looked up today, what are they, about 2,500 pounds or so?
Less than that, maybe with you, maybe 25 with you in it.
Yeah, dude. So, dude, it was just weird how it all happened. I wasn't really looking, you never really are. And I'm like, only ones I ever get fired up about are ridiculously clean two doors or the four door, and this one had a little speck of rust, nothing out of this world. And I shoot the kid I shoot the kid an offer at he wanted 1700, and I came in at 12, and he loved it. So we bought it, and he's like, hey man, I'm telling the whole story. He's like, hey man, it's good karma, man. I need some good karma in my life. Seems like you're gonna take care of this thing. I'm like, we're gonna K-swap. He was all about it. His buddies were all fired up, and drove it home. Terrible brake pedal, unbelievably bad brake
with an open header and no brakes, right?
Yeah, open header, no brakes, and the speedometer is a little wonky at the moment. So I was just following Sean, who we had on the podcast. He was my my wingman. And Sean's like, it's really, really freaking loud. I'm like, yeah, you should be sitting in the thing, dude. It's unbelievably loud.
Yeah.
Did you have your earmuffs with you?
I brought the earplugs, Brent.
Yeah.
I had the ones we bought to go dirt track racing. I brought those with me. And I just kind of lived in the moment, dude.
Yeah. You kind of just have to embrace it.
I'm just like, listen, guys, like, this is you know, this thing is stupid, right? And it's slow, and it, and you know, the body's a little rougher than I would like just overall, but it's not really, it's got two specks of rust. And so we bring it to Sean's house, and Sean's got a lip, right? So we put it up in the air, and it's clean. There's no pinch weld rust. There's no body rust. There's no holes in the floor. There's nothing. So we're like, oh, baby, we got a clean one. So, yeah, we figured out what's wrong with the brakes. Both, oh, my God, both in the back. The Both wheel cylinders were leaking. Sean pushes on the boot, and they were oozing, both of them. They were like, that might be something to do with the pedal. And, of course, the brake master was filled up to the cap. So that, you know, it's leaking.
Right. Yep.
But Sean's convinced it's not air in the system. I'm like, it's probably air. But he was pretty convinced.
So did you roll, did guys roll dirty on him on the red Civic?
Well, yeah, we rolled up in the Civ, of course.
Yeah, okay.
And Sean's playing it all cool. He's like, yeah, it's stock. And I'm like, I get back from the test drive, right? They got the hood open. I'm like, yeah, real stock here, Sean. So, he was loving it, dude. He loves that thing. And it was an hour away. He said that was the longest ride he took in it. And it's on like 15 pounds right now. And it's really stupid. It cuts second, just wah, wah, like it rips. So.
His car is kind of terrifying because it probably so it's a, what's it, a 99?
The 2000, but yeah, same body style.
2000 Honda Civic two door, probably weighs 2500 pounds. Given
given the way that it
ran against my last turbocharged project at 12 pounds of boost, that car is got to be approaching 300 horsepower, and the suspension is destroyed. Like the bushings are shot, and it just gets all kinds out of shape at about $120.
Right, you're missing the best,
which makes it more exciting.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Bone stock. It's bone stock, and it's probably from 99, 2000. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, I guarantee. I guarantee it. But it's a good time. Yeah. It's a good time.
He gets a, he's got hubcaps on it, right? Got his Zinis and with hubcaps. And
it's like you remember that video from back in the day of a guy in like a 2000 hatch with a K-swap, and he's just rolling up on dudes at stoplights, and is it the Firebird?
This thing got off
LS line? Car. What? He got something. He just lays into it every single stoplight. You remember that video? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's just. He got his foot to the floor. And then there's that other guy that's got the exhaust cut out on the cruise or on the dimmer switch. Have you seen that one?
Don't remember that
it's
one.
It's a four door.
Is it?
I think it's an EK though.
Okay.
Not an EG.
But, not as good looking, but
you know. And he's got it on the dimmer switch or the interior dimmer switch, the exhaust cutout. It's like sound stock rolling up, like it's all stock, kind of like Sean's in a sense, right? And then he sits at the stoplight, opens the cutout, and it just sounds unbelievable. And then he just rips and turns it back off.
Just parties, but Sean Civ runs with Mustangs. So he'll run with 5 liters all day. And I'm like,
it's amazing.
He's got AC. He's got AC still, right?
Love it. Oh, yeah, he's got AC. Yeah, full AC.
That is next level, really, because all those, like, from mount ones, I mean, they feel like they have to lose AC all the time.
He's spent a lot of time working on the downpipe to get it to clear the AC compressor. It was not like you can't buy one because they're like, oh, you got to lose AC. It won't clear the downpipe, come off the turbo. So he spent a lot of time welding up his own downpipe to run it around. I think he ovaled the pipe to get it around the compressor.
Yep. We'll have to talk about it with him here in a couple of weeks when he comes to Bristol with us, since we have to do part two of his interview. So we'll get a build update. But
got a big quick build, but yeah, that car rips, and mine will get the K, and parts are on the way. So I have 90% of what I need, which is awesome. So
yeah,
over awesome. Month parts from China.
China. My Japanese car. Yeah.
But, so this episode, right? So I've got a couple things aside from NASCAR All Three Series heading to Watkins Glen, which is probably, I'm guessing, in Brent's top five of the races of the year.
I'm excited.
There's obviously the Ross Chastain news on all kinds of fronts. The Melon Man is just dominating the internet headlines in the NASCAR world these days. And I want to talk about the Hungarian GP.
Oh, I forgot all
Hungarian Grand Prix, my friends. That's why I was hoping Drew would hop on so I could talk a little shit. But, you know.
One word answer. Sorry, can't make it. One sentence. I'm like, Drew, come on. What are you possibly doing? But, you know.
I was trying to get him. I was trying to flame him, but, you know, he didn't even show up. So.
But what a ride, though. Those dudes were out of control, man. That was some stuff.
It was epic. So, what do you want to get after first?
Let's get on.
Mr. Chastain.
We'll wait on Mr. Melon. That's good news. Let's just trash F1 here for a minute because they. That was unreal what happened. So, Sands, I did miss the first corner. I watched it on replay. After you said what was going on, I jumped on. So, run us through what you saw there, turn one.
So, I'll set the stage a little bit because it is wet out. It had rained while they were on grid waiting for, to roll out of grid for the formation lap when they come back to the starting line. There's a lot I learned about F1 this past weekend that I didn't know. But anyway, they come back to, it's raining. They were all on, there's various levels of tires that they can choose, but they all ended up being on the intermediates, which have grooves on them. And Lewis Hamilton is P1, and one of the McLaren drivers is P2, I think. And then there's a Red Bull driver in P3, and then there's the Lewis Hamilton's teammate, Bottas, or whatever his first name is, I can't think of it at the moment. He's in P4, so they're staggered, right? Lewis is in, you know, if you're looking at the back of the grid, Lewis is in the left front. The McLaren driver's in the right front. Red Bull driver's behind Lewis. And then Bottas, other Mercedes driver, is in the right behind the McLaren guy. So Hamilton is the only one that gets a grip on the start.
Shock. Surprise.
He freaking takes off. P2, that guy's spinning tires all day long. They come down into turn one, which is a hell of a right-hander, and they are hauling ass. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, nobody's braking. Why is nobody? This is not going to work. Like, this isn't going to work. Sure enough, the Bottas, the second Mercedes driver, he plows into the rear of the McLaren driver, bounces off of him, hits one of the Red Bull drivers, bounces off, which is... Max Verstappen. Verstappen gets wrecked. I mean, it destroys the right side of his car. The right front wheel is dangling, just doing, dangling
doing
in the
things.
Wind.
Doing limp
and
things.
You guys can't see it, but it's pretty much just limp. And the rest of the car is wrecked. I mean, it's completely destroyed. And then somehow the other Red Bull driver, Bottas, got hit by Bottas as well from just playing. There's a pinball machine down there in turn one. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, I've been 2 weeks removed from a NASCAR race, and I'm like, holy shit. Is this even real? Am I even watching this right now? Like, it's just, like, pitching. Yeah. This is amazing. And they're upset. I mean, there is a contingent of Max Verstappen fans in the crowd, in the F1 world, him and Lewis Hamilton got in a big time issue in the last race, and Verstappen went for a ride and got wrecked. It was a tough hit. It was a real tough hit. It was a local yellow. They don't stop the course, you know, for yellows. in F1, and they do a couple laps, and Verstappen's, I mean, he's fucked. This car's fucked. And a bunch of other cars. It continues to rain, and they red flag it. So what that allowed everybody to do is get back to pit lane, and Verstappen was able to, they basically rebuilt his car in 45 minutes. I guess under red flag, you're allowed to work on the car. And
that's the, okay. Much different than NASCAR.
Yeah. Right. Much different in that sense. And they basically rebuilt Verstappen's whole car. Now, so the list of things that I saw was like the floor, the right side, the entire front end. Like, it seemed to me like it was everything but the engine, to be honest.
That's amazing.
Those cars definitely come apart and go back together in a way that at least the current generation NASCAR stuff does not even.
Oh, no, it's another level. It's another level. Meanwhile, I think it's the team principal for Red Bull, and I wish Drew was here to clarify a lot of this because he probably knows it and it probably will flame me next time he gets on here. But
apples and oranges here. We're doing a good job, though. Yeah. So
I think it's Christian Horner is the team principal at Red Bull. That guy's fucking pissed. I mean, he is just all over the place, flailing his arms. He's upset because he got taken out again 2 weeks in a row. And
they're in a big points battle, man. So
they're in a big points battle. Going into that race, I think there were still a few points ahead of Hamilton, Verstappen was, for championship.
It's convenient his teammate all of a sudden throws it in, you know? Really convenient.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, there's going to be some drama. But anyway, Verstappen, everything goes green again. And the first, like, 10 laps of going back green are just unbelievable. I mean, there are battles up and down the lineup. And they are – I mean, I've not watched much F1, but the little I know, I don't think that was normal, what was happening. Like, people were just – it was like – it's like you took the NASCAR field and you took everybody under that generally finishes 30th or worst, and you put them in the front. That's what happened.
Williams is like two and three. I'm like, let's go, Williams team.
It was amazing. Like and so then, you know, the things were switching because obviously those guys suck and these other guys, the regular guys, are good. So Hamilton actually drove a hell of a race after that, and he ended up finishing P3. Verstappen.
Yeah, he drove all the way through the field. He had he was on like a two-stop strategy, and he was changing different tie. He would never went on the hards. Like, it was a whole thing. I'm like, this is how do you keep up with this?
Yeah, he did not go on the hards, which was quite crazy to me, and. He drove it. He drove it real well. I don't remember the guy's name who won, but I think he was
first time winner. Yeah, I don't remember his name either, Adam. But he was a Carlos Sainz.
That was the Ferrari guy.
Oh,
never mind. He finished second. But so that's where my story was going. So I think it was Ocon. Ocon is a guy who finished first. Yeah. Sainz, or however you say his name, second. Hamilton third. Did you see any of the post-race stuff?
No. What happened in the post-race?
Okay, so there's drama post-race here. That Sainz guy finished second, but he ended up he didn't get DQ'd, but he got called to the stewards after the race.
Oh, they called him to the hauler. They called him to the cafe.
Essentially, if it's NASCAR world, they call him to the hauler, right? And so in the beginning of the race, I told you there was this formation lap after they come off grid before the race starts. And during that time, it's radio silence. You are no communication allowed between the driver and the team. Well, they were talking to each other. So they didn't fucking penalize him until after he finished P2.
Well,
he finds out while he's interviewing, and the person doing the interviewing is telling him, you've been called to the stewards, and they're like, well, I don't really know what for. And he's just standing there. I mean, nobody can see me, but he's just standing there like this. he's not stunned, but he's just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, really? Dude had it.
And Ferrari, right? That was a great run for Ferrari, man, after their cheating season. So
yep.
I'm sure they were pumped for a podium, right? So.
Yep. But, and the only other issue I saw was after the race, everybody, the FIA collects a fuel sample, a 1 liter fuel sample from every vehicle.
Yep.
Okay. And I forget which car it was. Matt, you might know. But
it was, what's his name? The old F1 driver won all the races with F1. And the old Red Bull driver.
Vettel? Was it Vettel?
Vettel. It was Vettel. Yep.
Vettel. They allegedly, per the team's data, there was more than a liter of fuel remaining at the end of the race in the tank, but they could only collect 0.3 liters. So he was DQ'd completely.
Yep. What? Lost him.
And he finished P2?
Yeah. He was. Was he on the podium? I know he ran very, very well.
Yeah, I think he was P2, not the guy I was talking about before. This saying is, I'm probably butchering that name, but because everybody slid forward.
Sands. We'll go with Sands.
Because Hamilton ended up sliding forward after the DQ and finished P2. So, they're going nuts over there. It was a hell of a race. It was exciting.
If every F1 race on this fuel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I kind of wish I was home to see it now. But so this fuel thing. So they pull fuel samples out of these cars. Are they trying to verify that the fuel that they're using is legal, or are they actually verifying the amount of fuel that was remaining in the cars at the end of the race?
The rules say they need Yeah, I think it's more about if the fuel is legal that what they're using. But in order to do that accurately, they need at least a liter. So if they can't pull the required amount to do the fuel sample, then you're screwed. So
that is something else. Okay.
Well, that was all because Ferrari was pulse width modulating their fuel pump when F1 team wasn't looking at it. So because they realized F1's pulling the data every X amount of milliseconds, so they're like, all right, so we'll pulse. We'll spin up the pump when they're not modulating it or looking at it. So, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So that's what happens. But yeah, man, that was if every F1 race is like that, I would watch a lot more F1 racing. But
yeah, for those new listeners out there, I have talked about a lot about the entertainment value in NASCAR being extremely high. I mean, I've only watched a little bit here of F1, but like, that was awesome. The entertainment value, the drama, the extracurricular bullshit going on was awesome.
You know what you call that?
Well,
you call that
done.
Yeah. That's money in the bank, baby.
Cash those checks. That was awesome. That was I would watch a lot more of it, but most of the time it's just a parade. So,
well, there's gonna be. It sounds like from the little bit I was watching, it looks like Coda. Because I guess they're not going to be able to do the Japan Grand Prix this year. So it sounds like they're going to change that date to COTA. And there's going to be a Texas Grand Prix.
Whoa. Very cool.
So they're talking about, like, perhaps that sets up potentially two races moving forward in, you know, North America, South America every year. And I feel like that's... I feel like at some point in my life, I got to add an F1 race to the list of things to see in person. You know, it'd be cool to experience it. Like, to me, it would be awesome to see it in a different country, but like realistically, you know, that's
fair. Yeah. I mean, Circuit of the Americas looks like an incredible facility. So I would not be sad about going there.
No, that's pretty much as close as we're going to get to fancy racing without, you know, actually being fancy racing.
So. Yeah, I would like to. I mean, Drew, I feel like, you know, if he's what did he describe? He was staying in the party lot at whatever race he was at, and they were blaring the EDM yeah. music. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's like a whole different, you know. No, everybody drinking, likes a party.
Drinking Zimas and Smirnoff Ices, you know.
Und Bex.
Ja.
Und Bex.
Oh my god.
It's very, very cultured here. And,
yes.
Very cultured. Very cultured.
Amazing. But, well, hopefully Drew will join us because he can probably disprove and flame everything we just talked about.
Yeah, hopefully he won't be busy. So.
Oh, busy. Yeah, busy.
The big guy, you know. Guy.
Damn.
Big weather duties, huh? Big weather duties.
Yeah, big, you know, those storms, bud. Especially with those tornadoes. Just tornadoes coming down there in Jersey and NPA. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty nasty the other week.
He calls me. He goes, hey, you want to talk to your in-laws? It's headed right for him. I'm like, oh, good.
Thanks for the heads up. It's going to rain.
Might want to give them a call. Okay. Yeah. Everybody's good. Everybody's good. No tornadoes in that area. Oh, they didn't make it that far. But all right, so let's go.
What's going on with our big boy Ross?
Ross, man. So I did some math this morning, gentlemen. I texted it to you. I'd like to share that with the listening audience. So I'm thinking. Okay, so
math.
Yes. So Ross is now a new Trackhouse Racing driver, which is awesome. So yeah. I'm like, I don't know anything about Trackhouse Racing, right? I just knew they bought Chip Ganassi. I'm like, okay. So I got a jumping off point. So I started digging into it. And I'm like, wait a second, Ganassi. I'm like, Ganassi bought the old DEI stable. And that's Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God. So by default, Ross drives for the man, which is awesome. So congratulations on Ross Chastain and his new ride at DEI. That's excellent. And I'm pumped to see it. I wish he'd drive the 8 car, but you know, what can you do? Can't have everything.
Because he was a Ganassi driver this season, correct?
He was in the 42 car.
Yeah. This is his first real, like, legitimate cup ride. His previous cup ride ended up being the result of a IRS FBI investigation.
you know.
The shop got raided, you know.
The assets were seized of the financial backing sponsor, and that ride ended.
We're gonna take this race car.
That one disappeared. That was DC Solar.
Right? DC Solar, yeah.
That was
old DC Solar.
Oh my god! Just when you think.
But anyway, for the new people or the new listeners that might be listening to this at this point, Ross Chastain is currently the driver of the number 42 Chip Ganassi Racing car. He is more profoundly known as the Melon Man. And the reason where that comes from is his family is, or he himself, his family owns a watermelon farm down in Florida. And he's eighth or ninth generation watermelon farmer. And that's the life. He's watermelon farmer turned race car driver. And we here at Left is Right podcast are all for it, all behind it. And I would challenge you to find a better genuine brand, the Melon brand, going around NASCAR at this point in time.
And
you know, and then we learned a new thing today.
What's that?
What did we learn? We learned that there's another melon. There's more melons to be had.
The melons are multiplying.
Melons are multiplying.
Chad Chastain. Yeah. Don't know much about his driving history, but related to to the man. So let's hope he can wheel a thing. So it's going to be exciting.
I'm so excited.
So Ross was supposed to. Yeah, I would like to too, because it was. They posted a video then that was kind of funny, but so Ross was supposed to drive the. I forget what number it is, but he was supposed to drive the Nice Motorsports truck at Watkins Glen this weekend. But they ended up realizing that Ross can't do that because this is the first playoff race for the truck series. And as a cup driver, that goes against the rules. So
not allowed. No one told Ross until this week, but
no one told anybody involved with that situation until the other day.
Including the sponsors, dude. They got a watermelon sponsorship on that truck.
They got a watermelon sponsor So they got the watermelon scheme, but it's like a New York, it's New York highway traffic and safety or something. And the hashtag they're using is protect your melon.
Love it.
Where you're clicking your ticket. Like
amazing.
Everybody's firing on all cylinders, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. Cause usually, isn't it usually the Florida Watermelon Growers Association or something like that? That's awesome. These people and watermelons like to party.
They are pumping the money into the racing these days. The Watermelon Associations of America or whatever it is.
You're trying to cut down your taxable income, right? And the watermelon farmer, this is when you do it right now. Now's your season, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. So yeah, support your watermelon farmers. Go buy some melons, you know, so we can continue to see race cars with watermelons on them on the track.
So excited.
The only way this is gonna take off, like Ross hasn't won in Cup yet, and you know, that's the really, from my perspective, that's the only thing stopping Ross and the Chastain family from taking over the world. You know, right now they're just riding on the melon brand, but like wins will send them.
Wins with help.
They're like, we're gonna buy all these fields, guys. When this happens, the conglomerate will grow. The watermelon conglomerate.
Yeah,
but, super exciting stuff, and we're pumped to see him back, man. I was getting worried there. I was so bummed out a couple weeks back. You know,
it was a concern that he wasn't going to make the cut with Trackhouse purchasing the Ganassi organization and all its assets and the charters that they have for the number one car and the 42 car that he's fielding. But Kurt Busch at this point is clearly moving on, and the Trackhouse team is taking the one car, and they are. So I guess they have three charters at this point, but they're not fielding the 42 car. They're keeping that on the back burner, I guess, based on this information.
Okay.
Unless
I'll probably sell that or lease that charter. That's my guess.
That might be a good option. What do they need? I don't think they need to jump to three cars. Leasing right probably off. Makes sense so that they can get it back if they want to. But Ross is going to be in the one car. He'll be teammate of number 99, Daniel Suarez.
Say, Chastain Suarez. About that.
But, he's been running good this year for what it was and what he's been in. So I'm kind of pumped.
Trackhouse has overperformed. Yeah.
Yes.
Suarez was in the mix at Bristol Dirt when my boy Joey, took it home.
Big time racer gets this win on dirt, but that's okay.
Missed his calling.
I can't talk. Truex won the truck race, so what am I talking about?
Yeah,
that's true.
Talking smack here.
But they've had their ups and downs. I'd say of the new teams, I would put them in the lead from a new team perspective, right? So far this year. And
100%, I agree.
Suarez isn't a stranger to the world to the Cup world at this point. He's experienced, but they've got the financial backing. They've got a good setup, and acquiring Ganassi and all that situation with Hendrick. You know, we'll see. I don't see any reason why those cars can't become top equipment at this point with the money they're pumping into that organization and the sponsors they have. This is great for Ross. It's awesome.
Mr. Chastain, I just want to go back to farming watermelons, you know? Yeah. And if race doesn't work out, he's going back to farming watermelons. So
it's amazing.
It would be very easily. It would be very easily for Ross to be the odd man out in this situation. The only thing I think that saves him is Kurt Busch's contract is up, right? So from a Trackhouse perspective, like, you know, I can see why they're not doing that. You know, they're definitely geared towards the younger side at this point, being so new. So,
do you think old man Bushy goes for another ride?
I don't think he's, I think he's going to get a ride. It's probably going to be, everything points to 23XI getting a second car. right? Mm-hmm. So, and he's been open about that already. He's been open about having conversations with them. So
I think a little bit of lead from the front will help a long way there. But, you know, of course, with Hamlin Racing, right? You know, he's only going to share so much, you think. Yeah. But I think that'll help if they bring on a veteran guy. Definitely not Newman, but, you know, I think Kurt Busch would be a good fit.
I'd take Kurt Busch over Newman. I mean, I'd have to look at Newman's stats, but.
You got that big sponsorship, bud. That big monster sponsorship.
Right. At the end of the day, he's got more than a good enough pedigree from a racing perspective, and he still has the sponsorship dollars behind him, which just is the magic combination to make the business end work. So, I mean, look at a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr., right? I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. went through a portion of his career where there's no reason that he should have been in the cup car because he sucked. But he has the dollars behind him from a sponsorship perspective because he's Dale. He has a brand. He had a brand, right? I mean, he still has a brand today, but like he's.
Yeah.
Johnson, dude, after they found him cheating, bumping the recorders in on both sides on the jack change. He didn't do anything, right?
To derail this for a second, did you guys watch that video I sent you of Jimmy Johnson from back in the day at Watkins Glen?
I think that's the hardest I've seen someone hit a wall head on.
That's Jimmy Johnson from back in the day. Dude, he's coming down the front stretch there, and clearly something breaks in the car. It hooks right, goes through the grass, launches off the curb. All four wheels are off of the ground. He comes down in the sand, and he hits that tire wall and whatever other kind of wall there, and all the pieces come apart, and they shoot off camera. It explodes.
I don't think so that car didn't slow down at all.
No.
If anything, it accelerated. Yeah, it's like it came on the back straight. It had no brakes, and he's like, "Well, I guess I'm just gonna cut the wheel a little bit and sail it in here."
But dude,
He gets out of the car and he puts his hands up. But if you slow it down and you look at him, he looks like he has to be concussed. There's no other way. His eyes are just like he's got his hands in the air, like a drunk guy. Like I'm a drunk man at the bar, like I got my beer and I'm just loving life right now. Like
this is awesome. This is the best thing that's ever happened.
I mean, yeah. I guess being concussed is a lot better than being dead because he should be dead from that.
That wasn't it. Was he in a cup car? I don't even know.
I don't know. The sponsor was Alltel. I wanted to look it up. I think it was. Gosh, I don't know. But the announcers were great. The announcers were great. They were like they're like, oh, something broke on Jimmy's car, and like, but their voices didn't get higher as he goes sailing off the ground and like, it like hits the wall, and then he hits the wall, and the one announcer's like, oh dear God, something to that effect. It wasn't. I'm probably not doing it justice, but
the problem too is
just like Google's, like YouTube for the listeners out there. YouTube Jimmy Johnson Watkins Glen crash. I'm sure you'll find it. The video quality is horrible because I think
Jesus. Yeah, like
I think it's from the late 90s. Yeah, it's got to be late 90s. He hit that wall a ton.
He hit it a ton.
He clobbered it. Wow.
He was just a little baby back then. Little baby Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Mr. Roots. So, shout out to Mr. Big time follower.
Yeah. Everybody's going to the Glen this weekend. The trucks, Xfinity. I saw my boy Austin Cindric is starting in second on I think it's Saturday afternoon.
In the Xfinity race.
He's not. I was looking at the entry list for Cup, and he's. I don't think he's running Cup this weekend. I know they've been pulling him for road course duty occasionally. Not this weekend.
Okay. Well, hey. You know, you got to save him. You don't want to screw him up too much now, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's not a playoff race for Xfinity too, is it? It is for trucks. Uh, So that could be the reason why, because he's, I mean, at this point, he's going for Xfinity Championship number two.
Numero dos. Dude, once you get the cup ride, though, you're like, do I really want this Xfinity Championship?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, so the Xfinity race is the Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey 200.
Oh, God.
What a name.
What the what the heck?
That fucking Bushy was pushed to the back burner, dude. It's a real product. Peanut butter whiskey. What does this country come to? Ron Swanson be rolling over in his grave.
So last year they did not race at the Glen. That race got moved because of COVID, and they switched it to the Daytona Road Course. So it's been 2 years since they've raced here,
which was really cool to see, though, dude. On them on Daytona was unbelievably cool.
Yeah, definitely cool. That track and facility is worthy of more than the NASCAR races that it gets every year.
Yes,
that's right. For sure. In all configurations, but
the same. Yes.
So yeah, I'm not sure if that's a if it's a playoff race or not, but yeah. We'll see. We'll see how he comes out. We'll see how he comes out there. He's, I don't know where he's at. He's got to be in the lead in, from a points perspective in Xfinity, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. A long shot.
Let's see.
So he's got it. He's got it in the bag, as they say.
He's starting second behind Allgaier. You know, Allgaier's got a good season going, too.
Oh, Xfinity playoffs don't start until Bristol's the last race of the regular season for Xfinity.
Mm.
Hell yeah. We'll be there.
Yeah, so you're all right.
You're telling me
you're right. People... Austin Cindric is leading points by a pretty good margin, 797 points ahead of AJ Allmendinger, 715. He's got 12 only top fives and four wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Only 700. Yeah. Better than that.
The problem with the Xfinity series is you've got drivers who are not playoff eligible, like a handful. And at this point, of the 19 Xfinity races that have been run this year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 of the 19 have been won by non-eligible playoff drivers. So that's the sensation. Ty Gibbs has won a race, two races. Kyle Busch has won five.
The rest of
them. Say a whole lot of the rest of them.
Josh Berry, the man Josh Berry, took home that win in Martinsville. That's and right. As recently last week, Christopher Bell. Got a win. So other than that, it's been Cindric, Allgaier, Dinger, Jeb Burton, and that's it. And Matt Snyder won at Homestead. So
who?
Matt Snyder.
Michigan Miat. Yeah.
That's close to how you would spell that.
Yeah.
Definitely not MAT, I'll tell you that much.
That should be it's all three series, man. Trucks on the Road Course is gonna be epic. Cup wise, before we talk a little bit about the track, because I want to talk about that, but cup wise, Things are heating up in my mind. The odd men out right now would be Austin Dillon, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, and who's the fourth guy? Oh gosh,
it's been so many weeks I've forgotten all about my NASCARs.
We're disconnected.
It's not Bubba, right?
The last man out. So, yeah, Dillon, Buescher. Matty D. Matt DiBenedetto. And Ross Chastain.
Isn't Matty D out of a ride next year, too?
So Maddie, yeah, so this is where it gets interesting. Maddie D right now is out of a ride, and you know, right now I feel like somebody needs to slash all four of his tires on his rental car just before the race to get him pissed off, because we need to see for Matty D to save his cup career right now, he needs to win a race. And I think if he wins a race, he'll find a ride somehow. Someone will sign him. But like, we've not seen Matty D be aggressive.
He's like Chastain goes up there and like gets in fights with Kyle Busch. Like, that's what we want to see.
That's,
you know,
Matty D, right. Matty needs to be racing for his life. He doesn't need to make the playoffs in my mind, but he's got to win. I think there's like 13 or so races to go in the Cup season in total. Like, he's got to win. He needs to get mad, you know?
Yeah.
He needs to get really mad.
Got to drive like there's a cougar in the car.
Exactly.
Are you angry now?
I need a kilo of Colombian Bam Bam underneath the car.
It's going to be interesting. I could see Chastain making a good run here at Watkins Glen. He had a good run at most of the road courses this year. I think he did well at Road America, recalling.
Don't ask me where he finished, but I remember he did well.
But so there's four more races in the Cup Series until the playoffs start. So this weekend at Watkins Glen. Then they go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the road course.
Really?
So it's back-to-back road courses for the next 2 weeks. Man. Then you go to Michigan.
I'll be in Michigan. So
August 22nd. So that's a bit, you know, that's a big track. That's big speed there. And then they finish the regular season at Daytona. So that's anybody's race. I mean, that could be anybody. Yeah, so it's, you know.
Wait a second. The last race of the season is Daytona?
The last race of the regular season is August 28th. It's the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona International. It's a night race.
Someone's winning in, dude. That's what that means.
Yeah, that is the perfect setup.
God.
It's the perfect setup because anything can happen. You know, we saw Logano turn his own teammate at the 500. Anything can happen.
What a guy.
We saw Ryan Blaney almost kill one of his fellow Ford drivers. But, you know, what are you going to do? The 500.
But back to Watkins Glen. What I know of this course, Brent, you've never been there, have you?
No, I don't know why. I don't have a good excuse for that. I'll put it that way. That's one of those tracks as being into a road course, been in a road course racing and living in the area that we do. There's no excuse for that. So, you know, definitely need to make it a point to fix that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to training up there once for the firehouse. I saw the track. And that was it.
You saw the track. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was the middle of winter, freaking cold up there.
Yeah. Well, it's right there at the bottom of what lake is that?
It's one of the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can't think of the name of that one.
Get that lake effect snow, eh?
It's just New York. It's pretty much Canada. I don't know why we fought for that back in the day.
It's pretty much Canada.
I'm actually going for my younger sister's 21st birthday is this year. And my parents rented a house on the neighboring lake from Watkins Glen on
you're not Lake George, are you?
No, it's Lake, it starts with a K. Lake Koy, I'm probably butchering that name. Koyuka.
Yep. I don't know. Yep. Yeah.
But anyway, we're going up there for my younger sister's 21st birthday. My parents rented a house on the lake and do 21st birthday stuff with the family.
Yeah, I'd show them how to do it, buddy.
We'll see
how to get it done.
How old am I now?
I have faith in you.
Oh
yeah, you're 21. Watch this.
I'll be just about 33, and I mean, if we're just drinking Bud Heavies, I'll be fine, you know? Maybe, I mean, it's practically cannons. It'll probably bring the bats.
It'll be
on sale up there.
They brewed it there in Buffalo. The U.S. stuff's brewed in Buffalo, so it's technically a U.S. beer, but, you know.
It says imported on the can.
Oh, listen, it's just a thing, okay?
Like imported from Detroit, you know?
Imported from Chrysler. Driving over the Bell Island 300. Yeah, I remember all that.
Yep. But the Glen, Watkins Glen, the Gold Bowling at the Glen.
Oh, bowling.
90 lap race, 3 p.m. Sunday on NBC. Grab a beer, sit down, watch the damn race. It's going to be exciting. It's a road course. 90
laps?
We're going 90 laps. Yeah.
Oh, God. And NASCAR, caution rules. Don't throw the caution. I love it. So.
Yep. And Brent, you asked, I think this earlier today in the group chat, it's not the full course. I think you said the full course is like 3.5 miles.
Yeah, it's 3.4, and they shorten it up to 2.4. But I can only assume that they do that just looking at the course layout. There's a couple heavy braking zones in 8 and 9, and we know how well these current generation cars handle road courses with extreme braking zones. So,
yeah, I think the answer to that is good. So, yeah, I don't know why.
There'd be no reason to change the situation, is what you're saying.
Yeah. We're going to have to start having to give the drivers a boat anchor so they can throw it out the window.
Yeah, give it a toss.
Get her woed up.
And drop the lead ballast on it.
Do know about Watkins Glen is it is a road course, but of all the other road courses, even COTA, this particular track runs fast, especially the layout that they're running. Speeds are high. Yeah. Very, very specific compound, what I understand from a tire perspective. And they're running the same exact tire between truck, Xfinity, and Cup.
That's rare.
Wow.
Which is very rare. Everything in racing, especially at this level, you know, obviously Goodyear's the primary sponsor for those who don't know. But, you know, it's very specific to tire codes. That's kind of how they classify everything. And it's the same tire code for all three series this week, which, like Matt said, is extremely rare. So very special compound, I'm hearing. Very special compound for this high heat, high speed track.
Put me on some of them. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's not a set of Mr. Feelgoods.
Mr. Feelgoods. Yeah, I mean, it's when you cut out the, you know, turn 6, 7, 8, and 9 to shorten the track. Yeah, it simplifies it a lot from a lot of the more complex tracks like COTA. And yeah, it definitely makes it a lot faster. So your tire demands are probably going to be an awful lot more like an oval track because of the speeds. You're not, you know, you're running a lot higher speeds, maybe a lot less braking. I shouldn't say less braking, but less speed should be, changes should be than less you braking. Would have on a road course.
It is definitely less braking. That's one of the things they quote from. So a gentleman by the name of Greg Stucker is Goodyear's director of racing. That's what he says. Because of this configuration, cars carry a ton of sustained speed here. So brakes might not, you know, and looking at the layout, that screenshot that you sent, Brent, with the boot, as they call it, being cut off of this.
Yeah.
There's long straights. You've got a couple turns there to get to the back, but that's a long straight to get to the bus stop. But I mean, those guys go through there like a bat out of hell.
Right.
Like, you can stop for nothing. But encouraging news, fast, though. Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, fast road course corners are just it's nutty. I don't know. I mean, And I'm sure going on a banked corner on a super speedway, because I can't speak from experience, is just as crazy feeling. But you get like turn one at Mid Ohio is a fast sweeper, and in my turbocharged Mazda, I could almost go through it flat in fourth gear, wide open, and that was probably running about 100 miles an hour. And I was talking to guys about this, and somebody made the comment. He goes, "Yeah, what you got to do is you got to take your left foot and put it over top of your right foot and push down on it, because your brain says this is stupid. You should lift." Like that's those like turn four, like that kink coming out of that 1-2-3 combination. Like, you know, those fast corners, it's a flat corner, and you go through it too fast, you're going to run wide off in the grass, and you're going for a ride. And it just, it's, it takes a lot of nuts to carry the kind of speed that can be carried through corners like that, lap after lap. But
to quote Taka Takanashi from Major League, you have no marbles.
Oh yeah. Great quote.
Yeah, and speaking of sending off a turn, I think at the Xfinity race in Mid Ohio this year, there was more than one driver that went for a ride through the grass there, come out of turn one at Mid Ohio. So
it should be good.
Running there wide.
Trucks should be chaos. I mean, it just has to be chaos. They just
never disappoint.
It never disappoints. They don't care about each other. They're not afraid to move each other. And this just sets itself up for drama. It really does.
They're so angry.
In my internet searchings this week, and because it's Watkins Glen, I came across the 2012 finish of the Cup race, which involved Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Marcus Ambrose. And going into the last lap, Kyle Busch is first, Keselowski's in second, and Ambrose is in third. Keselowski turns Kyle completely, just dumps him.
It's saturated heaven right there. Yeah,
but like that, it could have ended that way, and I would have been very happy. But it was a hell of a race from that point on between Keselowski and Ambrose on the final lap. And those guys battled like crazy. The cars were loose. The speed was high. And that's another one. If you look for it's on the NASCAR YouTube page, but the 2012 Watkins Glen finish, if you just YouTube that or whatever, it's amazing piece of driving by Marcus Ambrose. Ambrose comes and gets around Keselowski and takes the win, which it was awesome. So,
what happened to Ambrose? I'm sure you don't hear that.
I don't know. No, you don't hear that name anymore. Was Ambrose an IndyCar driver?
Yes. That rings a bell as soon as you said it.
I don't know too much about him. I know he was in Cup for a little while. It was almost like him and that would have been before, 2012. That would have been him and Juan Pablo. Right.
Oh, Mr. Jet Dryer himself.
Yeah. Okay, I looked him up. According to this, he ran in the Australian V8 Supercar Series. He won championships in 2003 and 2004.
Ambrose, yeah. We should have known.
Yeah, he's a great racer. There's no question about that. I mean,
those Aussies.
Yeah.
Especially those V8 Supercars.
Those things are pretty sweet. I love those things.
Comparable to NASCAR minus the oval.
Yeah.
Which makes sense why he could have wheeled it like he did. Like, if you haven't seen that video, you need to go look at it. He wheels the shit out of it. Keselowski could have easily dumped him, but he didn't. Which, you know, I respect that. I respect him dumping Kyle and not dumping Ambrose. I mean, that's
no, obviously that's a given. Yeah. Dude.
But another thing, the only thing I wanted to say yet about Watkins Glen is they are bringing the wet weather radials this weekend, boys.
Oh, baby.
So we're racing.
Gotta be prepared.
We're racing until we're not racing.
Until it's a swimming pool. So.
Until it's a swimming pool, yeah. So yeah. It's just too much for slides.
They like racing in that, you know.
Yep.
Just so hopefully they learn the lesson. Daytona road course. So
they are going to get, they're going to get five sets of tires, I think, in total for Cup. No, that's wet weather. They're going to get five sets of wets for Cup, and then five sets of regulars.
Okay.
Yeah, so I understand that, right? So depending on this way the situation goes, right, you got five of each. For Xfinity, it's five regulars, four wets. For truck, it's four regulars and three wets.
Gotcha.
If you need three sets of rain tires to get through a race, you're running them. It's because you're running rain tires and dry.
Yeah. So if the weather, like if the track dries out three times in the course of the race, which I guess is possible, and you, if the strategy doesn't work out, it's.
I love seeing what happens when you've got a damp racetrack and half the field's on slicks and half the field's on rains, and then the rains, like the rain doesn't continue. And the speed differences that start happening immediately as the rain tires like blister and come apart. It's it's rather amazing.
Yeah.
So makes for good pit strategy.
Brandon, your lookup of the Xfinity race, is Ty running this week too?
Let's see. I didn't check that. I was looking to see if Cindric was running a cup, but I did not check to see if
Gibbs.
He is starting 15th.
Starting 15th in the 54, so.
He'll win that one.
Was it him and Dinger who got into it there at Mid-Ohio?
Yep.
Yeah. That was a good race.
Dude, Gibbs keeps giving these stupid Kyle Busch interviews, and everybody's not liking it, so you got to figure that stuff out. Grandpappy's gonna have a talk with him.
Take him down a peg or two, eh?
If you ever want to drive here in Cup, drive one of my cars. You can't be talking like that on the rate. Listen, Kyle Busch is enough.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a hell of a weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. Saturday, Sunday, three total races.
Sunday. Let's go. Go bowling.
That's right. Go bowling at the Glen.
It's a great name. I don't know how bowling has money to sponsor it, but, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a nice bowling alley in years.
And you guys live in Michigan. It's like the bowling capital of the world.
Michigan does two
bowling guys up here, but it's like a step into the 70s every time you go to one.
Michigan does two things: automobiles and bowling. That's it.
That's true.
That's what they do up here.
Oh, they go to the lake in the summertime, right? Bowling lake in the summertime. Yeah. Up north, as they say.
In the wintertime. Up north.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I think that's all I got.
Oh my God, such a good week. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, keep sponsoring us. We definitely liked what Adam did last week, team. So we're gonna work on trying to work something out. Maybe do driver bios and all that fun stuff coming forward. So
I definitely
like that approach. And I think, you know, the audience is growing. So apparently you guys liked it too, which is great. We appreciate the follows and the likes and the listens, and reach out to social media. We'll comment to you. We're here for you. Adam set up a great landing page now, so from any of our social media sites, you can get there. So, Adam, thanks for the hard work.
Appreciate it. Twitter, you can follow us. The handle's @leftisrightpod. It's the same on Instagram, and the link in the bio for both of those social media sites also takes you to a landing page, which can get you to whichever for Apple, Spotify, Google. And also created a YouTube page, but obviously there's nothing there. So who knows if we'll ever use that or do anything with that. But that's an avenue we haven't explored yet. So
yeah, we maybe do live broadcasts. I've seen that too. So y'all come in here, do it live. We can do that. So
yep. And also there's a link there for anchor.fm, which is a place where you guys can, if you've got suggestions about things or want to correspond with us in any way, you can leave a message there, which we could then take that audio and insert it very easily to the podcast. So We can play it, answer your question, whatever the case may be. Yeah, could be fun.
Any Cowboys fans want to come on and discuss why they're Cowboys fans? I'd love to hear some logic, because I you have to hear sound logic on that. So,
yeah, very fair.
Perfect.
So we're doing things. We're growing it a little bit. We're trying different stuff, and let us know what you like, what you don't like, and yeah.
I'm always down for an argument, so let's go. Or a heated discussion.
Heated discussion.
Got to get the jersey out of Matt.
Listen, every once in a while, I got to just go up. I put one of those rally horns in the truck because my horn burnt out that Travis gave me. And it sounds terrible. And it definitely does not get your anger out when you're going down the road. So
he needs another outlet, eh?
I do. It's going to be ripping gears in his Civic here pretty soon. So,
hey, one question on the Civic.
Yeah.
Your old one had the sunroof, right? Had the aftermarket dealer installed option.
It was an aftermarket sunroof, correct. Yeah.
Does this one have a sunroof?
Does not, no.
Oh, slick top, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to bang out two dents in it. I did a couple of these, straightened those dents out. So. But, no, dude, it's actually, Brent, you're going to be surprised when you see it. So.
I'll pleasantly surprised. That's good.
Yeah, you'll be like, wow. Even the underneath, I'm like, oh my god! It has a stock suspension, as we found out going around a Michigan circle. We just threw that thing in, and it was just no sway bar in the rear. I forgot about that. They don't have sway bars.
Oh yeah.
So we got to get the. Nice. We got to get some. There's a junkyard's got some EX Civics in there. I got to go pull the whole rear suspension out of that. Maybe tomorrow.
There it is. There you go.
If you're not doing anything tomorrow, Brent, yeah. We'll pull suspension on an old beat up Civic.
Perfect.
All right, Matt, you going to redeem yourself this time?
Oh.
Last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, see, I already messed it up, Adam. Put me on a spot like that. My brain don't work so good.
I'm making you nervous.
Let's keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Let's go racing, go bowling at the Glen. Y'all have a great week. Reach out to us on social media if you got any questions, comments, or concerns. Really happy to hear from you.
Thanks for flying with Left is Right Pod. Goodbye.
See ya.